You're listening to Cat Killer on Radio KOL. I'm Tom Pike from the TV Tropes web series Echo Chamber. A few months ago, we recorded this interview about Echo Chamber's first season. The second season is set to premiere on June 5th. You're about to hear the original interview, which should give you an idea of what you missed. If you want to see more, go to tvtropes.org/EC.
What was your favorite or the easiest episode? Either your favorite or the easiest, or both.
Well, my favorite episode is the one that I wrote. But
that's Romantic False Lead.
Yeah. And also because
great.
Justin, who is our composer, made the best little montage music. I just wrote, I want these guys to be, sipping in a milkshake. Yeah. And he just made the most beautiful, gorgeous montage music.
Which is good, because he had probably a day to do that. Justin is
you're such
wonderful.
A jerk.
No, because we didn't know how long the montage was going to be when we were done editing it. So I was like, Justin, I finally know how long it is. You have a day. I've worked
good luck.
With this a lot in the past. He has always come through for me, and he always comes through when I need him to come through. And I was like, please, Justin, don't let this be the first time you write something terrible, because I don't have time to send it back to you and tell you to do it better. But no, he it's just adorable. You basically want to go, aww, in the middle of falling in love with my body.
May I just say, we'll send you the file. Just play it here.
I was actually going to do exactly that. I think when we're done, I'll send you a lot of the Echo Chamber music, and you could do
You could sprinkle it throughout.
Yeah,
okay.
Or
roll
it up. Yeah, have an Echo Chamber. I mean, they're really... There's an hour of footage in the entire first season, and, we've probably only got about 5 or 6 minutes worth of music, but, I'll send you what we've got.
That's cool is for an hour of footage, we have around 120,000 views, which is mind-blowing.
To me.
Well, to me, too.
Yes.
I'm the one who said it.
So you have... Yeah, Zach, were you going to say what your favorite episode...
I love Freudian Excuse. I think that one's fantastic. I think it's the only one that I watch continuously.
Really?
Especially, the thing where I'm chasing you guys and you're trying to get away. That's hilarious.
That part's really good.
Just the idea that you're trying to get away from the cameraman, but he has to be there for you to see what's going on, so you can't ever get away from him, no matter what you do.
So that's basically the premise of the show there, where you keep trying to ditch Zach, and he's always there because otherwise nothing gets filmed.
Yeah. There are times when he's not around, but you never see them because he's the camera guy. So, Freudian Excuse, that's a spoiler. Just go watch it because there's a really good moment.
Well, what are you saying?
I was going to say, a lot of times we have jokes based on, it looks like Tom and Dana are talking alone, or they'll be talking about Zach, saying embarrassing things about Zach, and then Zach will say something, and you'll suddenly remember, oh yeah, Zach's there. Zach has to be there.
Otherwise, you can't see what's happening.
Yeah.
That actually brings up, that was an interesting problem we kept kind of deal with the whole time we did the show, which was, how to differentiate between Zach's point of view camera and, good cinematic camera stuff.
Yeah,
which brought up a whole mess of problems, is Zach constantly bouncing around and filming from four angles at once, or what's going on?
I have to say, I did notice in Romantic False Lead, during the montage, there's one particular scene that I can't watch. I don't know if it's because I've got television training, but I am spending the whole scene going, Zach's going to fall off and break his neck.
Yes.
That's what I thought would actually happen.
And I watched it. Because I wasn't there for that shoot. I was doing something else. And I watched that footage, and I was like, wait a sec. If that's Zach, that's the multiple $1,000 camera in his hands that he is holding over the edge of what is essentially a cliff.
It is a cliff.
Well, over a river.
So that shot, Zach, before he got it, because Zach knows that I'm always like, Zach, save another copy of the Final Cut file. Zach. did you import the stuff correctly? Like, this is my baby, and I go crazy, and he's like, Tom, calm down, it's fine. And so before he got that shot, he was like, Tom, I'm gonna do something, just roll with it, it's gonna be fine, don't worry about it. And I was like, all right, which is good to me, because that was a great take, and I would have been like, oh my god.
True.
It did look really good. I was just worried about Zach falling off the bridge, though.
Which would have been a really hilarious way to end the episode.
Except for the whole death thing.
I would have made it. There were trees.
Well, also, we wouldn't have been able to recover the footage because it's digital, and it would have been cracked along with Zach's skull on the rocks. That would have it would have been bad. Let's leave it at that.
Arguably.
Have I mentioned you're a jerk? Because you're a jerk.
In real life, I deeply appreciate Zach.
He is a jerk, though.
In real life, I appreciate all of the people who work on this show tremendously. And I'm not quite as much of an asshole as I am on the show.
Kind of are.
I like think I'm not.
Yeah, well, you're wrong.
All right. I think my favorite episodes are Psycho Ex-Girlfriend and Romantic False Lead. And I think the reason that we started doing better work in the second half of the season mostly has to do, well, there's two things. Partly it's those are what we were shooting after Show Within a Show had come out, and we knew what the standards were. But also, those were the ones that were written after Dana Shaw was cast.
Also, we graduated. Don't forget.
Yes, that also happened. But like, I think one really important thing that happened was that Dana wasn't around for the first four scripts that were written. And
one, two, three, and five, because we wrote down that as a point. Kind of late in the game when we realized, oh crap, unresolved sexual tension doesn't make sense if we end on like I hate you. Yeah. So the
reason that helped was twofold. Well, first of all, she could help with the rewrites, but more importantly, we were now writing for her specifically as a performer, as an actress, and she brought a lot to the character, I think. And that substantially improved them from there on out. So most of my favorites are in the second half of the season.
I think that another reason that the second half of the season is better is because we knew that we weren't just doing a Trope of the Week show. We were doing a story. And mm-hmm. I think that the early scripts reflect the fact that
Tom didn't know what
he was doing.
What I was going to say is, I thought my job was to make one of these a week, every week in perpetuity. I didn't realize we were going to be doing seasons. And actually, that's something I didn't realize because that's not really probably what I was supposed to do. I was supposed to do probably something more like a vlog, but I couldn't, so I submitted this instead. Best Eddie liked it. He's never told me why he accepted my audition over anyone else's. I'm probably not ever going to ask because I like the mystery.
Best Eddie, by the way, is the admin of TV Tropes.
Yeah. There's a fictionalized version of him who is substantially
more... It's not a fictionalized version of him, it's a fictionalized version of the admin.
Yeah.
If it was a fictionalized version of him, I'm also not going to give too much away, but it would be squicky.
Yeah. We would have been canceled if
immediately.
Because he is kind of the villain while also being the boss. But the Mr. Administrator in the show, he's very ominous. You never see his face. They've never met the guy. No one knows who he is or what he wants.
That is the opposite of Eddie.
Yeah.
He lets us know exactly what he wants.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. No, he
and we've seen his face.
Yes.
I was going to ask on that point, were you like given specific tropes to portray? Did he suggest ones?
We get suggestions, but it was kind of our run, right?
He gives us a great deal of freedom with this, which I greatly appreciate. Like I said, I think he had something else in mind when he hired me, but when he saw that this was what I could do, he was like, all right, yeah, basically. And he let us run with it.
He's had some suggestions for season two that we plan on following, but... I think we were going to do them anyway.
Usually when he gives us notes, we take them.
Yeah, because why not? We're going to make him happy. This is his product that he's ordered.
There were two big times that happened. One was in 14 Excuse after Show Within a Show came out. See, Google or YouTube has this really useful feature called Insight, which shows you a graph of what parts of a video people are most interested in based on when they stop watching something or when they rewatch a section of it. And it's really strange to see your writing quality quantified like that, but Show Within a Show opened with a monologue, basically. It opened with the Show Within a Show. It opened with the vlog. So that was just me talking at a camera. And that was then revealed to be the Show Within the Show, because then we started having the actual, you know, argument between me and Zach, the camera guy, and so people were like, oh, okay, that's what this show is about. This is a show within a show, and not just a vlog. But A few people stopped watching during the vlog because they thought it was just a vlog, and it was a bad vlog, by the way. Like, it's really awful.
It's pretty bad.
It's not entertaining.
He's not charismatic. He's not funny. He's just talking.
He's just talking about.
I'm not talking about the character. I'm talking about you.
So we saw the insight chart, and we were like, okay, some people thought it was a vlog. And Freudian Excuse was supposed to open with the vlog as well. So we're like, how else can we restructure this?
So we actually opened it with the vlog. That's what we did.
It was much briefer.
Like, we wrote something very quick so that people would know within 3 seconds
that it wasn't that.
That they were watching what is essentially outtakes of the show within our show.
And that was Fast Eddie's idea. And he, I believe, was pleased with the restructuring, and I was. I think it greatly improved the episode. Mm-hmm. He also suggested a lot of cuts to Terrible Interviewees montage, which probably made it better.
It did.
I want to make a director's cut sometime, but just so that people, because there's some really funny moments, and the hardcore fans should deserve to watch them. But we had to keep
it under. It was already like seven minutes or something crazy like that, and we were like, nope, we need to make this shorter.
Because it was 9 minutes long. It was ridiculous.
Well, no, but I mean, currently it's 7 minutes. So it was like 10. That was unacceptable.
It was like 8 or 9, but anyway.
Oh no, 9 minutes instead of 10. I'm so sorry that I miscounted.
Yeah.
Hey, you're not the one who had to sit there and edit it all out. Tom going over your shoulder going, no, I want that so bad.
Actually, no, Tom, it's not funny. I'm the one who was there backing up all of your choices, being like,
oh,
Tom.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Billy, we need to cut this. So I was there. I just wasn't the one doing the actual clicking of buttons.
Yep.
Yeah, you weren't the one aborting.
It was like I had my baby in my hands, and Zach was like, you need to throw that off a cliff. And Dana was like, no, you need to strangle it. Strangle your baby, Tom.
This baby has too many fingers, Tom. We need to cut you off.
We're saying, Tom, this baby has an extra 2 legs. We don't want it to be a squid, Tom. We want it to be
a baby, so we're cutting off some legs. It's more actually like a circumcision because we weren't removing anything that the baby really needed. But I was like, I really don't want to. Okay, all right, now Dana's
that's,
looking
no,
at me
that's
like,
just,
what the
that's
fuck?
That's just weird. Just, why do you talk?
I'm so glad you're not on actual radio.
It's like circumcision, you know, when horrible things happen to you. I'm Jewish, so for me, when I think of circumcision, I think of like
little drunk babies. That's what I think of.
Drunk babies. Like you give them some rum. You put some, like you dip your finger in rum and let them suck on it, and then snip, snip. So basically,
and everyone's like, "Hey, let's go eat."
It's how a Jewish man learns not to get drunk, because you will wake up and regret everything.
So, on the topic of Terrible Interviewees montage. There were a lot of extras, or not extras, what's a better word for it? Other cast in that, and throughout the series, did anyone like Patrick Kane or Shannon Stevens, were any of them familiar with TV Tropes before this?
Most of them, yes. Pat is a pretty hardcore lurker. I don't think he contributes to the wiki, but he's
hardcore
read...
Hardcore lurker? Is that a thing?
Oh no, he's lurked all... One day, Pat came.
He actually fits his role fairly well. He knows pretty much everything. When we did our final episode, I was talking to him about like what to do for the next season, and that's when I realized how hardcore a lurker he was, because in the span of 5 minutes, he just name-dropped everything I had looked at in the last couple of months. I was like, oh my god.
Pat plays Mr. Administrator. That's why it's so appropriate that he knows as much about TV Tropes as he does. Pat is, Pat one day told me, this was before Echo Chamber, he told me, he's a very good deadpan, by the way, obviously. He told me, I read every article on TV Tropes. I knew this to be impossible, but I also knew that with Pat, it was possible. The thing about TV Tropes, by the way, one of my friends said once, is that TV Tropes is a wiki that is just small enough that you think you can read the whole thing, and just large enough that you can't. So, that's the danger of it.
Yeah, no matter what happens, you will never get through it all.
You will never get through it
unless
all.
Unless your name is, like, Madrigada.
Yeah.
She's one of the mods who is super hardcore.
Uh-huh. I have to say, being a long-time lurker myself, the one way that TV Tropes is known in the radio community is the place that will steal your soul, as it's known in many other places. Yes. I found that the trick to not being sucked in constantly to TV Tropes is to have read possibly 60% of it.
Yeah.
So that every other page you click on is one you've already read.
Yeah, that's
easier
kind of,
to get away.
But the problem is that you can only do that after you've already gotten sucked in.
It's yeah, you have to binge a few times. I've done that.
Get sucked in for like a period spanning of like a month, and then after that you're just like, oh, I've already read all of this.
Basically, it's what they're telling you is like, if you're an alcoholic, like that's okay as long as you're only an alcoholic for a month, and then and then after that you're like, okay, I'm done with alcohol.
No, then you're like, oh, alcohol. I've tried this particular bit of alcohol before, but you know, I didn't find it was quite to my taste.
You know what? It's really like circumcision.
Can you leave? Just leave.
But once you've done it, you can't do it again. Didn't have a metaphor
get out
there. I just wanted to say.
I guess this is your apartment. You can't really get out. I'd have to leave.
Get out. Get out of my head, Tom.
Okay. The rest of my... I've only got a handful more questions. They're sort of vaguely random. I've been structuring the interview up to this point so that it makes sense, but I've now got four remaining questions that are completely random. So,
go for it.
Perfect.
We'll start with Zach. Do you mind being the butt monkey of this series?
Generally, no, but sometimes when I'm getting tired, you know, there's that blend where we're not sure if you're talking to the character or the person? That's when I start to get crazy. It's like when, you know, we'd be doing our 5 or 6 hour shoot, it's 11 or, you know, 12 at night, and we're doing our lines, and I just start to feel very emotionally, you know, put upon. But, yeah, generally, it's great. It's fantastic. I also like to feel like I'm the most popular character because I'm, like, pretty much, I'm the punchline.
Everyone,
yeah.
Everyone loves him.
So the butt monkeyness is okay because I know that somewhere someone's laughing at it.
Yeah. The other thing is that Dana and I, our characters, mostly keep the story moving forward, and that's done through conflict.
And I derail the story, yeah.
Zach is a breath of fresh air, and everybody appreciates that.
Which is why we can't use him too much, because
then people
get
sick of
him.
Yeah.
But
as long as we keep sprinkling him throughout, people will always love him.
Yeah, and I do like my little sprinkling because I spend so much time working on I spend so much time focusing on the, you know, the shots and, you know, worrying that your heads are in the right place and boring stuff like that. So, I mean, the lines actually kind of fit the amount of attention I have. You know, they're like, if it sounds like I don't know what I'm talking about, I probably don't because I'm like barely able to keep it all in my head. We need to put our bloopers on someday.
Yes. One of the reasons that Zach's character was written as scatterbrained was because his lines had to be simple. Zach has to do two jobs at once. And like, it is actually not easy to make the camera work, look that bad. He has to work at that. And when it's good, that's also not easy, you know? So his job is never easy, and he has to act. I'm asking a lot of him. So the lines have to be simple.
Essentially.
Yeah.
And he's the most talented person working on this.
We love you, Zach.
We love you.
I do too.
Okay, so in episode 6, which is Psycho X Girlfriend, we can see the sound guy in the window. Was that intentional?
Yes.
I did that on purpose.
It's like, oh my god, pull the blinds up. Because then we'll be able to see Zach and Dave, and it'll be so meta. We were like, really? You're gonna do that. He was like, yes, it's the best idea. And we were like, okay.
So,
whatever you say. And then so many people thought it was Shannon.
Which is weird. He has a beard.
He has a beard. He has a beard.
It was fantastic.
To clarify this,
Shannon doesn't. Yeah, it's true.
Dave is going to be
and
a minor.
And has never had a beard.
To my knowledge. Dave is going to be a minor character going forward. He's alluded to a lot in Zach's Twitter feed. Actually, because in the world
brothers.
Of the show, they're brothers.
They're not really.
They're not really brothers, but in the world
Dave
of the show.
Dave Unrelated Hill.
Yeah.
Dave Unrelated Hill.
Because we have a Justin Hill. He's our composer, so Dave is credited as Dave Unrelated Hill. But in the show, he is related, but not to Justin, to Zach. Do you see how this gets confusing?
Life is confusing, Tom.
We never know what's happening, ever. We just make stuff up.
I figured out that it was confusing when I watched the series and then spent 10 minutes afterwards going, wait, what just happened?
Yeah.
Now
I have to say I've now watched the series four times, I think.
Through? Have you done it in continuous sit-downs? Because I haven't done that yet and I've been wanting to do it.
I have done it. Well, I've done it in one continuous session, but the first three times I watched it, I got really confused. Because on your YouTube page, or at least for me, it shows up with one episode out of sequence.
Yeah.
So
YouTube sucks.
Yeah.
So for some reason, Dana's introduction, I think it's either Dana's introduction or Dana's second episode is Walk and Talk.
Yeah.
And I got really confused the first two times.
What happened is YouTube is actually made for people who want instant gratification. It's made for people who just recorded something on their webcam and farted it out and uploaded it. And we uploaded that video because we finished it earlier because that was simple. That was Walk and Talk. That was the one that we shot in one take.
And these videos take hours to upload. And
so we're like, we'll do this ahead of time and then we'll just make it live later. And it shows up earlier than it is. Now, to remedy that to some extent,
we made a playlist. Yeah.
So if you want to see the season in sequence, you use the playlist. And the playlist is displayed first in the channel. So I'm more...
If I may jump in here, we are going to be making a few other places for you to watch online. We'll have an actual homepage away from YouTube. So in the very near future, you'll be able to actually watch it without YouTube.
The way God intended?
Yeah. So, word of God intended.
The other thing I was going to say is of all the episodes that could be out of sequence, Walk and Talk is the one that does the least damage to the continuity. Because Walk and Talk is a bottle episode.
Yep.
We could have put that anywhere and it would have made sense. Mostly.
It's best where it is, but it could have been anywhere.
Yeah.
The only thing that confused me about it is there's one line where Dana says, "I'm not made up yet," which at that point in the story doesn't make sense because you haven't been on screen yet.
Yeah.
But apart from that...
yeah.
So the next question, which again is sort of random, is... were you guys all friends before this series, or were you cast, or?
We were friends before, now we're not, because we hate each other.
Yeah, we all, I can't stand anyone we've worked with.
This is not true.
I hate you. You're all
awful. Well, I've known Tom for 4 years, right?
Yep,
I used to write with you for that horrible little comedy newspaper thing.
Yeah.
We've done some filming before. I've known Dana sort of through other people.
At least in Sam's birthday party.
Yeah, like a year and a half. I've known who you were for about that long. And I think Tom had possibly met Dana before through...
Dana and I met through improv several years ago.
And it was actually weird because at the time I was 17 and Tom was... How old were you?
I was 21.
He was 22. 22. So, the running joke is that Tom is old. That's the running joke in real life, that Tom
is old. Only a little bit older than me, though. My birthday is this weekend, by the way.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
I'm glad you reminded us of that, because there is an episode probably in season 2. Can I say this?
Well,
say it.
There's probably going to be an episode in season 2 about Forgotten Birthday, which is a trope.
Aww.
So. I didn't want to do that in real life. Yeah, Zach, you'll really like this script. I don't want to tell you about the script for the first time while we're on the air, so I'll tell you about it later. We've been working, Dana and I have been working very recently on the scripts for season 2.
Very hard.
And also yesterday. So, Zach hasn't heard all of that stuff yet. Anyway, Forgotten Birthday is a thing. Dana and I met through improv, and then we were out of touch for several years. And then we met again in a class, but it wasn't this project was never supposed to be just like me and my friends doing a thing.
Yeah, I had to audition.
Dana auditioned.
I auditioned and was
you almost didn't
the
get
best,
it.
Can I say?
So, yeah, she was the best. And
I almost didn't get it. Is that what you said?
Yeah. Well, we had a lot of people. It was you and Alyssa. We knew we wanted to use. Yeah.
Also Shannon.
And Shannon, yeah. And we ended up using all three. People who tried out who we thought were fantastic. It was just for different roles. Yeah.
Alyssa could not be mean. She is much too sweet. And,
adorable.
And
Alyssa, by the way, is porn girl.
Yep.
Yeah. Alyssa, if you're listening, you're adorable and you'd make a fantastic, very nice porn star. Just very polite one.
She's really, I took the sweetest girl that I know and turned her into a porn star. I took the most reasonable person I know and turned her into a crazy stalker. That's Shannon, who is the other really standout auditionee.
And then he took me, and I was basically just herself. Like this from the get-go. Yeah,
I didn't do anything.
You were already ruined, Dana.
Yeah.
I was already a horrible person. Yeah. She thinks that everything sucks.
Yeah. So as far as like knowing other people, like Shannon, I knew for a while. Shannon has actually never acted before, but I always felt like she'd be good at it because she's really expressive and she's one of the best writers I've ever known. So I knew she knew character, and she understood character. And she auditioned for it after Dana had, and I knew I wanted Dana for the part, really. And I was like, oh God, now I'm going to like, I wanted Shannon to not do well because then I'd have an easy decision to make, but I didn't want to be the one to tell Shannon, oh, you almost got the part. Cause then it would sound like I didn't mean it, but I did. So
welcome to the auditioning.
Yeah. We wound up creating a character for her because I went to our producer, Yulene, and I was like, I don't want to tell Shannon. No. She was like, stop whining.
Yeah. Girl.
Do and write a character for her.
Yeah, our actual producer takes about as much of Tom's shit as I do on the show.
Yeah.
So.
Which is good.
That is none of it. Yeah. None of it.
None of it. Yeah, we've also had an interview montage. We had two of our friends, one of whom is a writer, Connor. Connor played Scary Knife Guy. And,
yep.
Okay.
And our friend Elise, who Tom and I both worked with before, as an actress.
She was the one who maybe was there for the therapy, but maybe was there for the porn
or
because she had nice boobs.
She did have nice boobs.
They're pretty great. Yeah, it's true.
Yep. And my Uncle Bill is played by
Dana Babel.
Dana Babel, who is a Shakespearean actor.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And
that got confusing just for a little while because I was they kept talking about Dana and I was like, I'm right here.
We need to get him back. We had such a good little zingy chemistry. It's awesome.
I've been meaning to bring that character back for a long time.
I love it.
I did write another script that used him, but it wasn't. I'm just going to tell them what it is because we're never going to use it. That my script was the Scrappy, and I wanted to use Uncle Bill as the Scrappy. And
that people would have liked him better. That's the problem.
So
he's basically just another version of my character, just like me plus like 20 years, right?
It's yeah. You can talk
and
to.
And on the film.
On the lamp of the cops.
Yeah. Okay. See, remember how I said just sometimes Zach says things that are exactly like his character?
There you go.
90% of the time, Zach is brilliant, and then every now and then I'm like, what? But it's still brilliant, but I am like, what? The script that I wrote was the Scrappy, and it's about Uncle Bill coming in and just kind of making himself at home in my apartment and drinking like some wine that I'd been saving for a special occasion, because he's like, yeah, it's a special occasion because I'm here, and he drinks the wine and everyone gets really annoyed, and we're having a conference with Mr. Administrator at the time, and he's like, remove that animal from my sight. And eventually, he's like, screw you guys, I'm leaving, and I'm taking the show with me. And Zach follows him, because Zach loves his Uncle Bill. And so the show does follow him. He's like, this show is about me now. And then these two guys in, masks, come and abduct Uncle Bill.
just to be clear, that is A, not canon.
Happening. It's not canon.
And B, will never be canon.
It will never be canon, no.
Okay.
Because actually, by the time I wrote that, I didn't know what Mr. Administrator's plan was, and now I do, and it doesn't fit with that. So, yeah, that wouldn't happen. But I just wanted, fans of Uncle Bill out there to know that,
fans of Uncle Bill?
Yeah.
You're listening to Cat Killer on Radio KOL. The interview you just heard was about the first season of Echo Chamber, the TV Tropes web show. The second season comes out on June 5th. To see the first season, go to tvtropes.org/EC.